Sweet. Well, Grant, thanks for coming on and going through your story.
Of course.
I guess let's start off with your current experience at spring training. What this has been for you so far?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Pretty cool. Obviously, dream come true. Something that I've always wanted to do in my life ever since I was a little kid. So being here, just a dream come true, and I'm super excited to keep going.
Are there any big takeaways that you've had from this camp so far? I know you're recovering, but just the overall experience talking with guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just learning from all the guys, being able to actually have a joint weight room with those guys and see them train and be out here with these guys and watch them every single day. It's been a blessing, honestly, because you get to see those dudes and how they go about their day and how I can take the things they do and apply it to myself.
My first takeaway from meeting you before the spring breakout game is that you're much bigger in person. I mean, it's like everyone, when you meet them in person, you don't realize how big they are.
Right.
You're listed at 6'2", 230 or 220.
Yes.
What are your current stats?
So I like to say I'm 6'3", 230.
Okay.
It's actually, so after my sophomore year at Campbell, I went home, didn't play any summer ball, just decided to kind of get after in the weight room. And I actually did a hypertrophy training.
So that bodybuilding style?
To an extent, it kind of just like, to what I understood about it, was kind of just breaking down your muscles to make them bigger.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and I came back, and I got back to Campbell, and everybody was like, dude, you like blew up. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't feel like I had, and I couldn't really see it like in the mirror, but to go back and like actually other people say like, man, you look bigger. It's pretty cool, because then you know you kind of work pretty hard.
Was that a change in diet also, or was it just the workout routine that you changed?
Just the workout routine, honestly. I would say my diet stays pretty much the same. It's always funny, because my roommate and I we're still on like the ground beef and rice from college, which, I mean, isn't bad. It's still good for you, so we still hammer that all the time.
Awesome. So let's go into a bit of your story. Walk me through your upbringing, kind of when you got involved in baseball. Did you play multiple sports?
Oh, yeah, so I played kind of everything growing up, honestly, but I always like to tell the story that my mom told me when I was young. I think she tells me I was 18 months old, and we were sitting in the living room, and I picked up a baseball and threw it and hit one of the small windows and actually broke it. So that, she always likes to tell that, because I guess it says I had a strong arm when I was little as well. But kind of played every sport growing up, played football, played basketball, and then kind of stuck to baseball after my seventh grade year, just because that's where I really saw a future for myself.
What position did you play in football?
I was a quarterback.
Quarterback, okay.
Yes.
So you had a good arm with the football too.
To an extent, but I think I played when I was 10, so really I would just hand the ball off to our running back, who was one of the fastest dudes that I've ever played with. So just hand it off to him and let him run.
When you played baseball, were you always a catcher, or did you work into that in high school?
So I kind of got pushed, not necessarily pushed into the role, but we didn't have a catcher on. It was actually a machine pitch team, and I wanted to get back there and try it out, and got back there and stuck with it for the rest of my time playing. So
which Major League Baseball teams did you watch growing up? Did you hone in on the catchers?
A little bit. So obviously Yadier Molina was one that always stuck out to me. But really, so being from Louisville, Kentucky, the Cincinnati Reds were the closest mm-hmm. ones to us. So I'd go up there and kind of just watch baseball in general. Honestly, I'm not really sure who their catcher was at the time, but just kind of go up there and get to watch those guys and learn from them.
So then getting into your later years of high school and then onto the recruiting stage, how was your recruiting process? Did you have the serious power in high school as well?
Yeah, so I was more of a lengthy guy in high school, though. Okay. I was probably 6 foot, 170 pounds, like just super lengthy and whippy, but had a little bit of juice still, and obviously could still sling it a little bit. Kind of got recruited at an early stage, got recruited my sophomore year, committed to Alabama after my sophomore year, and then kind of once then just was a catcher at that time. So
yeah, walk me through the Alabama and then eventually going to the Campbell.
Yeah, so I got to Alabama. I loved it. It was awesome. It was just kind of tough because of COVID, there were still some guys that I was behind. So got there, decided just a red shirt. I think I was 200 pounds when I got there and left at 220. So kind of put on some mass there, just developed in the weight room a little bit, developed on the baseball side, and then kind of wanted to really develop as a catcher. So that's kind of why I made that change to go to Campbell, because they had a catching coach that I really felt like could develop me as a catcher.
And did you play 2 years at Campbell?
3 years.
3 years, okay.
3 years.
So you go to Campbell. How long did it take for you to become the starting catcher to really get those reps?
Yeah, so I actually started the first year that I got there. Started the first game, was catching for a little bit and kind of got a bone contusion. Had a foul ball that hit me in the finger. So was out for a little bit, and then we had a fifth-year catcher that just took off. It was awesome to see, honestly. It was really cool to be behind that guy, watch him hit a lot of home runs, and just learn from him because he had played 5 years. So got to learn a lot about the game just from him and kind of pick his brain.
And then your senior year at Campbell. So I guess walk me through how it all happened. Was it the fall leading up to your senior year that you got on the mound? Did you still have your shin guards on? Is that an urban tale?
Okay. Yes, no, I actually did still have my shin guards on. It's actually funny because a guy named Jeremy Wiegman, who was one of our pitchers at Campbell, he's a big Dodgers fan. And right before the draft, I remember he commented on one of the Dodgers posts and was like, he tagged me and was like, hey, draft this guy. He hit my PR in his shin guards. So it was pretty funny just how it all came about.
Yeah, so walk me through what that was like. Was it in a side session or was it on the actual field? And was it after like live ABs or practice, you're like, hey, let me give this a try?
Right, so the original time was actually during an inter-squad. So I was catching, was throwing down to second. It kind of was jumping that day. could tell it was kind of riding down to second. So I was finished catching in the inter-squad. I went down to the bullpen to warm some guys up. And I don't know what, I think about this all the time. I'm like, I don't really know what struck my mind about it. But I was like, you know what? Like, what do you guys think I could hit on the mound? They're like, I think you'll at least hit 90. So through the first pitch, it was actually 90 right on the dot, and I didn't really feel like I had like reared back to throw it. So through a few more, I think I was up to like 95. Then we went down to the dugout and told some of the guys down there, and they were like, no way, let's go down and throw one more. So I went down there, threw one more, was up to 96.
Oh my gosh.
I think, so I always get the days mixed up, but I want to say that was a Saturday inter-squad, off on Sunday. Monday, our pitching coach asked me if I wanted to throw a bullpen, and I didn't know if he was being serious or not, but I was like, yes, of course I want to. So I threw a bullpen in front of him, and then Wednesday was our scout day, and then threw in front of the scouts and was up to 98.
So I guess first question, when you're in the bullpen, you caught the guys catching. Who caught you when you threw that first pitch, or were you just throwing to a backstop?
Just throwing into a net, actually. Okay. It was pretty funny. There was a radar gun, but just a net.
Yeah, I would imagine no pitcher would want to get down and try to catch 90.
Exactly. No, none of them, especially some of our pitchers that we had, they weren't going to get back there and do that.
So was that the first time that you stepped off a mound at all, or had you done it prior?
No, so I had pitched kind of like growing up.
Okay.
But then whenever I committed to Alabama, it was solely focused on catching.
Yeah. So when you were doing that scouting day on that Wednesday, were you able to find the zone pretty accurately, or were you just hurling fastballs? And
no, I would say that like I was in and around the zone the entire time. The only one that wasn't really around the zone was the very last one that I tried to let go and just see how hard I could throw it. So
did you have a breaking pitch or an off speed at that point, or was it just fastball?
I did, but it wasn't very good. I think it was like 78 miles an hour. It kind of popped out of my hand. I didn't really have a pitch grip for it. So then that's where our pitching coach kind of came into play and was like, hey, let's kind of mess around with different pitch grips. So kind of messed around with a few different ones, found one that worked for me, and then kind of went on with that one.
Yeah, so then through that next offseason and heading into your senior season, what was that development process like with the hitting, the pitching? How often were you throwing bullpens?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy, honestly, because I had never built up as a pitcher. So when I went home, they were wanting me to throw bullpens and everything like that, and I wasn't used to that because I would just go home, take a couple weeks off from throwing, just focus on hitting, and then kind of build my arm back up for that just to catch. But when I went home, I kind of had to throw bullpens because I needed to build up for the season.
Yeah.
So it was kind of throwing, like at first it was just normal catch play, and then towards the end of the winter, it was like two bullpens a week.
Okay.
So really, honestly, pretty taxing at that time because my body wasn't used to that, my arm wasn't used to that, still catching and doing everything like that. So it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, what's the recovery process look like for you? I mean, catching is extremely demanding on the legs.
Right.
Pitching, you need to have that foundation under you, obviously, and then plus the arm care on top of it. What was that journey like trying to figure out how to recover?
It was tough for sure. I mean, every day wake up and it's like, man, my body feels terrible. but kind of figuring out a routine for me was the biggest thing. I would go in the morning, take an ice bath. That was huge for me. Mm-hmm. It kind of aligns exactly what the Mariners do too. So it was kind of cool how that kind of took over as well. But yeah, I'd take an ice bath, get in the training room, and our trainer understood like what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, man, I kind of want you to come in here and make sure that you're getting your work done so we can keep you healthy.
Yeah, and then heading into that year, What was it like going into a game for the first time off the mound? And that first game that you pitched in a game, did you also catch the first 8 innings? And then they were like, hey, yeah, go down the bullpen. Do they take you out in the 7th to give you an inning to, like, prepare? Or is it just, like, catcher to the mound? Okay, go.
Right, no, so we were playing ECU. So I think they were the number 11 team at the time. And we were down 5-4 going into the bottom of the 8th. So I just get back in from catching. And our head coach was like, hey, you're going to go to the bullpen. Like, you're going to go in the 9th. And you're either going to keep them at the 1-run lead, or you're gonna like close the game, and like we're gonna be up. And I'm like, all right, like I want to do this. And so it's kind of cool because like I really wasn't expecting it. I kind of expected the first game, kind of get my feet wet a little bit. Yeah. It was gonna be a game that we were up big, but he came up to me then and he was like, you're gonna do this. So I was like, all right. So I go down to the bullpen, I'm warming up, and it was kind of crazy. We had runners on 1st and 3rd. Our guy at first steals 2nd, catcher throws the ball in the outfield. So now that run scores. Now we got a guy on 3rd. He ends up getting a 3rd. So it's 5-5, runner on 3rd, 1 out. Our head coach calls a squeeze bunt. Hard. Our hitter did not, I guess, read it on his armband, and he swings. And thank God he hit it through the 6-hole.
Oh, man.
So we end up scoring. So now it's 6-5, and now the emotions are really hitting me. I'm in the bullpen, and I'm like, oh man, like I'm gonna go close the game against the number 11 team in the country.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool. And then obviously running out there, all the emotions, and everybody in the crowd knows, like, okay, like this is Nip's first time ever being on the mound. So I get up there, they announce my name, and everybody goes wild. And then that outing was pretty cool too. I think, it was like the 2nd pitch of the outing. Kind of get one in on a lefty's hands, and he shoots it right where the shortstop would be playing, but we were in a shift.
Oh, man.
And I had no clue. So I turn around, and I'm like, oh, no. So
yeah.
Got a runner on 1st. Next one, bunt to me, throw him out at 1st. Now I got a runner on 2nd, 1 out. Think I end up walking the next guy, punch the next guy, and then get a fly out to end the game.
That's incredible.
So it was crazy.
Yeah. What were the emotions after that first outing? And then heading into the rest of the year, did you kind of learn to dial in your emotions, or did you try to do certain things to get amped up to get into that situation?
So I would say I'm an adrenaline junkie already. so like I kind of needed to pull myself back before I went out onto the mound, because I knew if I was too high, then I'd get out there and it'd kind of be like emotions all over the place. But breathing is really one of the biggest things for me. Just taking a deep breath and really being where my feet are at the time is probably the biggest thing for me whenever I get on the mound, or really even in the box in a big situation.
So that senior year, you were leading the country in home runs, and you had an OPS of like over 1,500 or something like that until the injury. I mean, performing at such a high level at the plate on top of now closing baseball games, what was that experience like overall? I mean,
it was awesome. It was pretty easy to take the confidence that I had in the box to the mound and vice versa. So that's one of the things that I've been talking with the mental skills coaches here of, like, how are we going to manage the mental side of the game from pitching to hitting? So, like, if the hitting's not going great, how do I not take that to the mound and vice versa there? So that's probably one of the biggest challenges for me to take that next step in pro ball. But obviously, whenever I was in college, it was pretty easy to take that confidence from the mound to the plate and the plate to the mound.
And so what exactly happened with the injury that occurred on the hamstring?
Yeah, it was kind of, honestly, it was a freak accident. I started off the game slow and then hit a double off the wall. And the first pitch after the double, I steal 3rd. And when I went to push off to dive into 3rd base, I felt a grab in my hamstring. And then kind of rehab, we didn't get an MRI, kind of rehab for about a month, got back, and then kind of the same injury, another double off the wall, and was rounding 1st base and kind of got it a little bit. And so kind of just shut it down for the rest of the year at that time.
Gotcha. So then heading into the draft, I've heard the Mariners head of scouting, Scott Hunter, talk about how they got you. And so what were the conversations that you had with teams leading up to the draft? Did you expect to go? When you did you expect to go to the Mariners?
So it was kind of crazy. So in the fall, we had like our winter meetings where we talked with all the different teams that were interested in us and everything. And so the year prior to this past year, I think I talked to three total teams. And then once I started pitching, I think I talked to like 21 total teams. So it was kind of crazy how that took off. But so the Mariners was one of them that I did talk to in the fall. And then honestly, it was kind of a mix of opinions of how different teams were going to draft me, if they were just going to keep me as a pitcher, if I was going to catch and pitch, or how that was going to work out. But honestly, I was not expecting to get drafted by the Mariners, to be honest. But it was pretty cool because obviously we had a bunch of Campbell guys that were already here. So that's been pretty cool too.
Who are some of the other Campbell guys?
So it was Ty Cummings, Ernie Day, Jared Belbin, and Spencer Packard, who's still here. So there was five of us, but now we're just down to Packard and I.
Wow. So your name is called. What are the emotions that
kind of everything kind of hit me at once. It was pretty cool. Had a draft party, so everybody's around me. It was kind of, you always hear the draft stories about you're supposed to get drafted in this round and then nothing comes up. So I kind of had that case where I was supposed to go in the fifth from a team, and then like nothing, my name didn't get called, and we're sitting there, and like you kind of feel like the air gets sucked out of the room. And I didn't know, I was like, oh gosh, here goes one of those stories. Yeah. So we're just sitting there, we actually were playing pool. My agent called me and was like, hey man, like the Mariners are gonna give you this. You wanna take that? And I was like, yes, of course. So.
Absolutely. So your name is called, you get drafted by the Mariners. What are the next steps after that to get you into the system, start prepping you for what's to come?
Yeah, so it was kind of crazy. Me and three other guys, we get to Charlotte and our flight gets canceled. So we get to Charlotte, now we have to go to a hotel, stay the night, get up the next morning, and finally get here. So we're the last four guys to get here out of our draft class. And we get here, kind of go through our like little draft camp. And I actually ended up getting hurt during draft camp with the hamstring at that point. So that's why I didn't play in Modesto or anything like that. Just rehab the rest of the year, and then finally got 100% healed and everything, and now ready to go for this year.
So you're 100% good to go now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Have they talked to you about kind of what the plan is moving forward as far as this year? Where are you going to be heading?
Not exactly yet. That'll be coming in the next few weeks with our player plans. But honestly, I'll be grateful and excited to go anywhere. So I'm just excited to finally get back out there and play. It's really the first time I've ever dealt with a serious injury that's kind of held me back from games. So I'm just ready to get back out there and get after it.
Have you had any conversations with Cal or with any of the other catchers or some of the bullpen guys about, anything here at camp yet?
I haven't really been able to talk to them a whole bunch.
Guys. Yeah.
Obviously the other catchers have been able to work with them. So like Josh Karen, who's my roommate, so he gets to talk to Cal and those guys. So he'll come back to the apartment and kind of talk about what they talk about, which it's pretty cool to see. Just how he's learning from them and what I can take away from it as well.
So. Now, the spring breakout game, I know you didn't play in it. You were in a D-load. What was it like to be just a representative of the Mariners in a game like that with the top prospects?
It's probably one of the coolest things that I've been a part of. Being around top prospects and everything like that. I mean, we're around the best of the best. So it was pretty cool. I got to see, obviously, Ty Pete hit a bomb, Jared hit a bomb. So it was pretty cool to see those guys kind of excel in that game.
And then so some of the pitchers that we saw, Logan Evans started the game. Then you got Brandon Garcia. You got Gerangelo Sanja, who is a switch pitcher.
Right.
How much have you seen of Ryan Sloan, who's a 19-year-old throwing 100 miles an hour? Jeter Martinez, the same type of deal. Have you seen some of those guys and just the talent that is in the system?
Yes. Oh, it's been pretty cool. Obviously, I came to Shove Camp, which started like January 6th, so got to see those guys kind of go about their business and what they do. Mm-hmm. One thing, probably one of the biggest things that I took away from that camp, Brandon Garcia writes down like his goals before every time he goes out to throw. So that's pretty cool. Just always write down your stuff to see like, did I do what I said I wanted to do for the day? Did I kind of accomplish the task that I was looking to accomplish? So that was pretty cool. And then like you said, Ryan Sloan, dude's 19 years old.
Built like a tree.
It's unreal. Like that dude, I remember we're doing mound pull downs and he's pulling down 102. And I'm like, dude, I'm 23 and this dude's throwing harder than me right now. So it's crazy though.
Yeah. And then I guess getting into workload management, and have they had any conversations with you, or have you thought about like, hey, what if maybe sticking to one of the positions moving forward is going to be the best for longevity. I know you pulled your hamstring the last time rounding third base.
Right.
If you're trying to stay off the base path to maybe just pitch only, or are you just going into it with an open mind, seeing what happens this year? And
kind of going into it with an open mind. I still want to hit, but I know, like, obviously there's a little bit more injury risk at that point. Like, running the bases, obviously it's where I've gotten injured the three times really with the hamstring. But kind of, like, I'm good with that now. Like, my mind's in a good spot where, like, I've been out on the bases running close to 100%.
Okay.
Making those sharp turns and everything like that. So, and I know we've talked about it too. When I get out there, they're going to tell me to go station to station at first, kind of get my feet wet, and then kind of going first to third and second to home and stuff like that. Just because, like, they want me to stay healthy as well, just as much as I want to stay healthy.
Absolutely.
So
the rest of this camp, do they have you, or when's your next bullpen that you're going to be throwing? Is that coming up, or is it going to be in a bit?
I'm not sure exactly yet. I think I'll start throwing again sometime this week, because I was on that deload phase, and then start building back up for that.
Okay. I guess big 2025 goals.
I would say,
what would you write down right now if you're
probably one of the biggest ones, and I've said this since I started pitching, is to throw 100. Obviously, the better you're, or the harder you throw, the more you can throw it, like, literally right down the middle. So
what have you topped out at?
I've been up to, so I've, some scouts have told me 98, some have told me 99. So I like to say 99 because obviously it's closer to 100. but I would like to get up to 100 for sure.
That's right there.
Right, exactly. I know it's 1 mile an hour, but that 1 mile an hour, I swear, it feels like it's forever away.
Yeah.
But.
Well, Grant, really appreciate your time. Amazing story that you have so far, and really excited to see you progress this year. Best of luck.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.